Father, we thank you that you did conquer death, that you didn't simply stay in the ground, that you rose victorious, and that, God, through that we have redemption because of your Son. And so, God, we ask that as we dive into your word, I ask for open hearts and minds, that we would be ready for your word, and that, God, you would change us and challenge us. For it's your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Kids, it's time for Kid Connect. It's a fun time in God's word. And as they go, I want to take the opportunity to introduce to you our special guest this morning. His name is Thomas Worsham. Some of y'all, I'm not going to say who, but people in the back who wore the bright purple LSU World Champion shirt last week, you will like. He is a Louisiana native. He believes that there's only one professional football team in Louisiana, and it is the LSU Tigers. But for some reason, he's also a Cowboys fan. He's confused, I guess. No, but Thomas and I and Steph have known each other for about 11 years now. We met at a youth camp, which that's another story that I will gladly share with you one day. The youth got to hear it, and he has been a good friend of ours for many years. He served at Steph and Nicole's Peepaw's Church, where he was attending after his retirement, and we got to know him over the years. And from Fort Worth, after he graduated seminary, he went to First Mendon in Louisiana and served there for many years. And I got to partner with him doing worship for some D-Nows and some other things like that. And then from there, he is now the BCM director for Louisiana College. And so he is in collegiate ministry as of right now, but that doesn't stop him from loving to preach and enjoying it. So without further ado, Thomas, I want to turn it over to you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I've known a lot of long years and a lot of fun times, and I had a kindred spirit in Andrew. We had classes together. I appreciate his boldness, his conviction, and he was a brother from a different mother, I tell you. So we've had a lot of fun through the years. Yes, I grew up in Louisiana, but I'm from North Louisiana, which is Shreveport. And so I'm not a Cajun. I have Cajun relatives. Yes, I have Cajun blood in me. But there's a saying is, if you're born in Shreveport, you might as well just be in Texas, because they're right there on the border. You know where Shreveport's at. You know, right across, you get the Texas-Louisiana border, and the roads go from smooth to ba-bum, ba-bum, ba-bum. That's our way of saying, welcome to Louisiana, okay? Yes, I'm an LSU fan, and I'm a Cowboy fan because I'm a Christian. So those things are important. So I'm a man without a country where I am at. Speaking of football, I got to be honest with you. I miss football season. I know the XFL started, but that really doesn't count, okay? You know, it just doesn't. You know, there's the NFC, the AFC, and there's the SEC, the Southeastern Conference. Everybody else really doesn't matter, okay? I'm sorry. So I know. I apologize. But I do remember the Alamo, and I'm faithful to that, so give me that. So, Brother Lyle, thank you for letting me use the pulpit here this morning. I do appreciate that. So, but with that being said, I do miss football season. I'm a big football fan. And Dr. James Dobson, his mother grew out in West Texas, grew up out that way. And he tells a story in his book, Life on the Edge, about his mother's football team from her high school out in West Texas. Now, you know, at West Texas, football is a religion, amen? Those folks take that serious. There's not much out there but oil wells and football. So, but her football team every year consistently got beat. And not just beat, they got the dog beat out of them. And game after game, year after year, her home football team in her high school just could not win a game. So the game before the last game of the season, after the team had been demoralized and defeated, a local businessman came into the locker room and said, "Coach, can I talk to the boys for a second?" He said, "Please, you can say whatever you want to. I'll take any help I can get." It's a true story. He said, "Guys, as you know, I'm a local businessman. I've been coming to your games for years. I've seen your brothers play. I've even seen some of your fathers play. I own a local car dealership. And so, boys, if you can win next week, just win the game. I don't care if it's by a half a point or by 1 point. If you can win, I will give you and your coaches the keys to a brand new car next week. All you got to do is beat your hometown rival. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be pretty excited about that. They had the band play louder. The cheerleaders cheered louder. The guys got gung-ho and got fired up, had the greatest pep rallies. And here comes the game Friday night. They turn on the lights, the crowds cheered, and at the end of the fourth quarter, they got beat 70-0. What's the moral? Well, I talked to students about that last night. They got caught up in the hype and not the hope. They didn't take the time to study the playbook, to practice consistently, to take what it took to be an effective winner and a football player. They did not count the cost. And so this week we've been talking at D-Now with our students about your identity in Christ. You get a name, you have a mission, you have a purpose, you have rules and regulations and guidelines, but if you're going to follow Christ, if you're going to find your identity in Him, if you're going to serve Him, then we all must count the cost. So if you will open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 25. Luke, chapter 14, verse 25. And old Dr. Luke, the physician. In Luke 14, 25, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, He said, "If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be My disciple." Now, any English people out here, any English teachers or anybody that loves English, there's a fancy word for this. It's called hyperbole. Jesus is speaking in exaggeration. Our love for Him should supersede anything else, and our love and devotion should be so strong to Him that our love would seem like hate. Jesus says, if you're going to follow Me, this is what it's going to take. You got to hate everything but Me. You got to give up everything for Me. And then He issues the charge here, verse 27, "And whoever does not carry their own cross and follow Me cannot be My disciple." Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. This is the end. He's going to face Gethsemane. He's going to go to Golgotha. He's going to rise triumphantly 3 days later. But the end is coming. And these people were following Jesus, expecting Him to be a great emperor, to start an empire, to take Caesar's place. But Jesus came as prophet and priest. But my friends, He's coming back as King. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in that moment, He came back as the prophet, the priest, the high priest, who would pay the sins, to pay the price for the sins that we could not pay. Now, He used vivid language here. Strong language. If you're going to follow Me, you've got to give up everything, including your own life. And at that point, the crowds started to thin. At the cross, all abandoned Him but John the Beloved. The very ones who sang, "Hosanna, glory to the highest," just a week later, were crying out, "Kill Him, crucify Him, give us Barabbas." The crowds were fickle. So Jesus says, if you're going to follow Me, you have to count the cost. Then He continues on in verse 28. "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and was not able to finish.'" Back home in Louisiana, there's a little town called Mangum in Winsboro, Louisiana. And between those two towns, there's a house that's been built for 40 years. Literally, it's been built for 40 years. And every time you drive by there, you go, "Is he ever going to finish that?" It's kind of a town joke. They laugh at it. And it's become a landmark. You know, "Well, if you get to that house that's not finished yet, my house is about 10 miles to the right past that." And they laugh at the guy. Don't know his name, but they just laugh at the guy. He started a house, whether through laziness or lack of finances, he just never finished the job. My wife and I, on our honeymoon, I got married later in life. I was 41 years old when I got married. And now we have two kids, and so I'm going to be able to get the senior adult discount and the kids discount in a few years. So I'm doing good, okay? So I got that down. My wife hates that joke. But we were blessed with an opportunity to take a Mediterranean cruise on our honeymoon. And we got to go to Italy, got to go to Rome and to France, and we got to go to Barcelona, Spain. And in Barcelona, Spain, there's a cathedral, and excuse my Spanish, I'm going to see if I get this right, the Sagrada Familia. The great chapel was the cathedral. They started building it in 1882. And to this day, they're still building it because through the Spanish Revolution, the plans got lost and different things happen here and there. And so they're saying that by the year 2026, that building might be completed. The Pope has said, well, it's not quite a cathedral yet. We'll just call it a chapel. It's not really a chapel yet because it's not finished. And so the people of Barcelona are like, are they ever going to finish this thing? And it's become kind of a worldwide joke. Are they going to finish this cathedral? Is it ever going to be done? The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Let him finish the work that he started in you. Consider the cost. If anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. When the wind and the waves came against that house, it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But Jesus says, anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is a foolish man. When the wind and the waves came, the house fell with a crash because it did not have its foundation on the rock. Count the cost. Lay a foundation that's on the solid rock of Jesus. Don't build it on human opinion or your feelings or your emotions. Consider the cost. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you have to give up everything. And then he continues on and says, suppose in verse 31, there's a king that's about to go to war against another king. When he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming at him with 20,000, if he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. On December 7, 1941, we were attacked by the Japanese, and our country was in no way, shape, or form prepared for World War II. So FDR had to do everything he could to get creatively to start the arsenal of democracy, to build up a great empire, to build a great military empire. It's one that's been unmatched for years, for decades. They had to count the cost. Okay, we're about to take on Japan and Germany. We have to build up our military. We have to be prepared for anything. Well, my friends, you may not be called to go to war, but we're at war every day. Because the Apostle Paul reminds us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the works, the evil of this dark, evil and darkness of this world. Consider the cost. Put on the armor of God and be prepared for him, the evil one. Jesus reminds us that in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything cannot be my disciples. You have to give up everything. Everything. Your dreams, your hopes, and some people, well, this is just for teenagers. No, this is for middle age, and this is for senior plus. You have to give up everything to follow him. Everything. Jesus prayed to Gethsemane, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, a complete surrender. Jesus reminded them in Luke 9:3, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra pillow, no cell phone, no GPS, nothing. We can't live without our cell phones for 10 minutes. We start having withdrawals. I've got to have my cell phone. Jesus said, take nothing for the journey. Consider the cost. Is what you're doing for the kingdom or for yourself? You've probably never heard the name William Henry Schmidt. William Henry Schmidt lived in California. He was a miner in the Mojave Desert. And in 1902, he started chiseling away at the side of Copper Mountain. And for 36 years, he chiseled and blew out with dynamite and took donkeys and rubble and rocks and took it all out. For 36 years, he built a 2,087-foot tunnel that went to nowhere. Never found a bit of gold. He made a tunnel that was 0.4 miles and did absolutely nothing. Wasted his time. What is your life and your testimony going to be for the kingdom of God? Will it be said that you did absolutely nothing? That you wasted your time on earth being an effective witness, an ambassador for the kingdom of God? Jesus says, you're going to follow me. It's going to cost you everything, but you're going to gain everything. There was a story of a little boy who got his hand stuck in a priceless vase. They did everything they could to get the vase off his arm. It must have been a $50,000 vase in this house. And his hand was stuck in it, his arm. And so they tried everything imaginable to get that hand out of that jar. And finally, they said, well, the only way we're going to be able to get that vase, his hand out of that vase, is if we break it and shatter it. So they took the vase, they carefully placed it on the table, they got a hammer, and they smashed the vase. And when they did, the little boy's hand was clenched. He was holding on to a worthless penny. What are you holding on to? What do you need to let go of? Are you sacrificing junk? Are you sacrificing something of value for something that's meaningless? If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, you have to let go of everything. Sometimes we have to say no to the good for the greater yes. And let it go. If that little boy just released it, he could have just pulled his hand right out. What is God calling you to do? Why are you really here? What is your calling? Have you considered the cost? It may cost you everything, but you'll gain everything. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior this morning, let me challenge you to do that. You'll never be happy apart from Christ. You'll never know happiness. You'll never know freedom until you've done that. Maybe today you're holding on to some junk. Maybe there's some things in your life that you just need to let go of, that secret, unconfessed sin that you do when nobody's watching. That attitude, that mindset, that relationship, that habit. Give it up. Let it go and serve the Lord at any cost. Maybe today you're struggling. Maybe today you're going through a lot. Maybe today you want to join this church, become a member of this body of believers. This is a sweet church. Lovely family. Whatever decision you need to make today, do it today. Count the cost. Consider the calling. And remember, it's not our will, but His be done. Lord Jesus, I love You. I do thank You for this, Your day and this many blessings. Thank You for these students and these fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray, Jesus, that You continue to bless the decisions that were made this weekend. I pray that You'd help us all to consider the cost, Lord, as we go about our, where You replace us tomorrow, our jobs, at school, wherever it is You have us to be, Lord Jesus. May we consider the cost. May we be ambassadors for You and Your kingdom. And may we fix our eyes upon You, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us throw everything else aside to focus on You and to serve You. Be with those here today that don't know You as Lord and Savior. I pray today would be the day of salvation. We ask these things, Your matchless, Your powerful, and Your holy name, King Jesus. Amen.
Shall we stand this morning? And so many times we struggle with value because of where we set our gaze, by what we're looking at, by what we think is valuable at that moment. And that's why in Scripture, Paul tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 6, lay not for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupts, where thieves break in and steal. But lay your treasures in heaven. And when you count that cost, if your gaze is on this world, your value maker is going to be off. Oh, but if you turn that gaze to Jesus, you'll see a new value. Life-changing value that's worth every cost. As Brother Thomas has brought this word, however God might be working in your heart this morning, this is our time of response. A time for us to respond to what God would have for us. And so, Brother Shannon, we're going to start singing, My Jesus, I Love Thee. And as we sing, the altar's open. Maybe you need to give something to the Lord today. If you need to know the Lord as your personal Savior, Brother Andrew and myself, we're going to be right down here. We'd love to show you. You need a place to come to be a part of and join with this family to see God's name go forth. We would love to have you. But however the Spirit's working, let's listen to His voice right now as we